Good morning to you, brothers and sisters. My name is Gideon, and it is my lot to bring the devotion for the week, trusting that the Lord will give us an open door, and the sharing will be a blessing to the children of God. It is always a pleasure to encourage one another. As the Bible says, that as it is called today, we should encourage one another. And that's what we will do in this couple of days. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you because you're with us. And even sometimes when we don't feel it, and even at times when we can't see it, when it looks like you are in the boat, but you're sleeping, but we know that you're with us, not because we feel it all the times, but because we believe that your word is true. We rely on your word, we believe your word, and we know that regardless of what we might be going through, individually, collectively, or what the church might be going through, your word is certain. I will be with you unto the consummation. Thank you, Father. Let your presence be with us today as we encourage ourselves, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want us to take it, study together in the book of Exodus. And starting with chapter 1, just going to be reading it and then making some comments as we go. This is a story of the Jews that we all know in the land that God used to multiply them. This was the land where they, in fact, became a people in Egypt. The land of their enemies, or the land that became the land of the enemy, was the place where God was forging them to become his people. Or to become a people. And that's often the case with us as well. It's not usually in the land of plenty or the land of peace on every side, a land of no worries. That's not usually where men are made. Men are made usually in the land where it looks as though things are tough, difficult. That's when character is forged. So if we're reading the first chapter here, I'm just going to start reading it from verse 1 here. Now there are these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty. Exceeding mighty there is talking about how prosperous they became. How not just in terms of size, but in terms of relevance, in terms of their standing in the community. They became a force to reckon with. They became exceedingly mighty in the land. And the land was filled with them. In verse 8, now there then arose up a new king. And that's where the change of order happened. There is no way that the children of Israel would have thought about leaving Egypt if verse 9 did not happen. Or if things did not change from verse 8. There is no way that we will aspire for a better land if the current land that we have meets all the conditions that we need for eternity. If there is no death in this world, there will be no need for a new world or a new heaven where it will be the land of the living, and there will be no death anymore. If everything here was, if there is no evil in the world, there will be no need for a heaven. Oh. And that's where the order of things changed. And God was working towards something. Verse 9. And he said, so there arose a king, a new king over Egypt that knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. Not only are they more in size, but they're in fact mightier than they were. They were more prosperous. And that has always been the profile of the children of Israel. Even the physical Jews that we see in history, the Holocaust was born largely out of the fact that the people of Israel were prosperous. They were waxing mighty. They were sort of taking all the European folks then would say that they were taking all the jobs. They were prosperous. They were doing much better. That is the physical side of it. And we recall also during the dispersion, it was one of the things that also happened at the time that stirred up Haman against the Jews. Because the covenant of the Lord is with them, they always stood out. They always were prosperous. In the same vein today, because the covenant of the Lord is with us, we should always stand above darkness. We should always stand above evil, because the covenant of the Lord is with us. We should prosper spiritually. Yes. I'm not a party to saying that the purpose of the gospel, the covenant of Abraham, the covenant of the Lord is for us to prosper physically. But the Lord also does not have a covenant of that we will not prosper physically. We will prosper physically. Because it says that, I wish that you so prospers that you as much as your So while the promise of the covenant of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham that is extended to us, is not physical blessing, as explained in Hebrews, well, we do know, however, that I would that thou prosperest as the soul prospers. So the Lord can bless us, but the blessing that we are more interested in, that we are most grateful for, is the covenant that the Lord has with us. that we always, wherever we go, we are mightier than the world. Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier. We stand above darkness in our generation. We are mightier in words, in deed, than the prevalent darkness in our generation or wherever we find ourselves. Verse 11, therefore they did set them taskmasters to afflict them with their burden. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithoms and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The more that the church is being afflicted, the mightier the church is becoming. And the church in persecuted period even grows more than when it's not persecuted. Because the word of Christ, that the gates of hell shall never prevail, even though it fights against it, has remained true through the ages. Regardless of how darkness persecutes the light, darkness can never exterminate light. It's the light that exterminates darkness. Okay. The more that they're persecuted, the more they grew. Verse 13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, mortar, bricks, and all manner of service in the field. All their service was with rigor. And the king of Israel, the king of Egypt, spoke to the Hebrews' midwives, Puah and Shiprah. And he said, when ye do the office of midwife, if it be a son, ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then let her live. But these midwives, they feared God and didn't do as the king of Egypt commanded them. But they saved the men children alive. The midwives, I believe, did something that will definitely not be rewarded. Unrewarded, rather. Even though the Bible clearly documents that they were rewarded here, it says, and it came to pass in verse 21, because the midwives feared God, he made them houses. In the other translation, he made them a family, he gave them a household name, meaning that they were honored of the Lord. They became people that, I mean, they became names that could be reckoned with. I believe that these two midwives that we mentioned here are not the only midwives in the whole of Egypt, but they were probably the top midwives whose instructions and policies are passed down to other midwives. So their opinions, definitely, whatever they do, will be what the other midwives would do in terms of policies. But they stood for Christ, or they stood for the fear of God, the voice of conscience that they had, and the Lord honored it. And the Bible says that them that honor me will I honor. And in life, a lot of times we have the opportunity to honor the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, most times in a gentle, quiet voice, or to honor the loud voice that we expose ourselves to on social media, in the world that we live in today, the voice of our friends. We always have that option. We always have that choice to choose between either of those two voices, the voice of Pharaoh or the voice of the Holy Spirit that is nudging us to do something or not to do something. A brother shared with me an experience before of how they did something just because every single person around that time when they needed to make that decision was telling them to do that thing. You know, it was obviously the devil that positioned those people. They were all saying the same thing. And all the things they were saying was wrong against the Bible. But because of the number of people who were saying those things to them, they fell into it. against what the Bible had instructed, what against what the Holy Spirit was telling them to do. And the, you know, in the future, the, just a couple of months from then, it became a regrettable action. That's just to let us know that every single day we will have that voice of Pharaoh, a lot of times always louder, speaking to us than the voice of conscience, of the voice of the Holy Spirit that, you know, helped Shipra and the poor in this situation. Today, I just pray that the Lord will grant us the strength to subdue our flesh, to yield to the voice of the Spirit, and give us victory over all the voices that we, all the voices that we will hear, whether on social media, whether on any platform, in whatever regards that we find ourselves, whether we'll be, whether we are a wife who has the choice of picking their influence from the word of God or from the trends on social media, those two voices, whether we are a husband who have the choice of picking our influence from the word of God or the voices on the social media or the voices of our friend, the Lord will honor those that honor him like he did for these two midwives here. May the Lord bless you. I pray that you have a great week starting today. In Jesus' name, amen.